Welcome into the latest edition of the PackersNews.com and JSOnline.com Packers podcast. This is Jim Ozarski along with my co-host Tom Silverstein, both of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And wow, things have, since last we spoke, things have calmed down quite a bit in terms of incoming talent to Green Bay. But here we are, perhaps not surprisingly, seeing some outgoing talent in Clay Matthews and Randall Cobb after, you know, 10 and 8 years respectively.
Yeah, it's a farewell tour of Packers free agents. And, you know, when they signed Preston Smith and signed Za'Darius Smith, that was pretty much the writing on the wall for Matthews, that he wasn't going to be able to get a lot of money. It sounded like he wanted to come back, but, you know, the money just wasn't going to be there. And Cobb, I think that writing was on the wall by, you know, right when the season ended.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. He seemed to feel that way at the end of the year. Yeah. You know, at the start of free agency, I think we referenced this a little bit in our last podcast, but when the Packers went out sort of testing the slot receiver market, I mean, it had kind of been in the water that they were ready to move on anyway, regardless of what price was going to be for Randall Cobb. But I do agree. I think maybe if the money was somehow there for Clay Matthews, perhaps it could have worked. But 2 years, roughly $16.5 million in
max. You know, so
in LA,
we don't know
right.
what that means. I'm guessing it's about $7 million a year, $6-7 million
yeah.
a year. And you know, and then they also lost Bashaud Breeland this week too, and so that's three guys, and I don't mean lost, but they didn't re-sign. And they could have re-signed any of the three, but the way those deals were constructed, it would have put immense pressure on the Packers' salary cap. So Breeland was a one-year, with incentives, $5 million deal. Cobb, I don't know if I've seen it, but it was a one-year deal.
Yeah, around five and a half, depending how that's also structured.
So, okay, and then Matthews was going to eat up, you know, at least five million. And so here the Packers are with officially, as of Wednesday, they were about $8.5 million under the cap, and that's with their draft choices. So if they would have done that, take five off of that, and they're down to $3 million, and that's really cutting it close.
Right.
And I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, it's it leaves you very little wiggle room. If you look at last year alone with all of the in-season free agent additions, now granted, those are all prorated salaries, but, I mean, they brought in how many safeties?
Yeah.
I mean, they brought in Bashaud Breeland. I mean, that's almost $1-2 million just in prorated salaries alone.
Yeah.
So that's a really tight window you don't really want to be in.
Well, and they have some business to do. I mean, I think they want to re-sign Mo Wilkerson if they can.
Yeah.
Ibrahim Campbell, they've shown an interest in. I mean, geez, he could wind up being one of their starting safeties right now.
At this point,
the way
yeah,
things are looking.
Yeah, they still need. I mean, yeah, you look at the current roster construction, Tom, and it's it's Adrian Amos, and I guess
now,
Josh Jones.
Yeah,
or you're putting Tremont Williams
safety
back there
right now. He's got to
yeah.
be. Although, where does that leave him with a slot corner?
Would that be Josh Jackson then? So, yeah, I mean, currently, if you look at the roster.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it would.
There's still, of course, players out there, veterans out there, too. You mentioned, you know, potentially veteran minimum. And I think with Mo Wilkerson, I don't know how many years offhand would he qualify for the minimum salary benefit
yes.
of 10 years.
Yes.
So,
I think there's one. Isn't there one less than 10 years? I'm not sure.
Not entirely sure. Off,
yeah,
off
they
the
changed
top,
but that rule, and so I'm not really.
So there's some finagling there, maybe that at least with one of those deals, you know, they chose not to do that with tight end Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
So by bringing him back and
gave him $500,000 to sign.
Right, and we'll get into the offense here in a little bit, but it was, Cobb and Matthews. Tom, I kind of put that in the Jordy Nelson bucket to a degree.
I do.
Where at some point you have to just say it's over from an organizational perspective. You know, Brian Gutekunst made the hard call with Jordy Nelson a year ago. This one maybe not as hurtful to the quarterback or some others because it's free agency. It's not like a cut and, and all that stuff. But although, you know, plenty of social media messages from David Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers about those two. But I don't think they fit anymore.
Yeah, look, you know, it's the old Ron Wolf adage, and we say it every year, you'd rather cut a guy a year too soon than a year too late. And they've got two 26-year-old guys they just signed to rush the passer. They got you know, 23-year-old wide receivers they want to give a chance to. And so that's how the game is played. You know, people always want to compare things to New England. Well, Bill Belichick has never had a soft heart for anybody.
No.
You know?
No.
He's brutal and gets rid of all kinds of guys when he thinks he can't.
Right. Year to year over there.
Yeah.
The quarterback stays the same. That's about it.
Yep. So, I will say, you know, just in summarizing, you know, Matthews was a great player for the Packers. I think he was a game changer. He was a guy who, I don't know if they win a Super Bowl without him. I don't know if they're a perennial playoff team. Probably, but they're not as good. I mean, he was a really good player for 5 years and 5-6 years, and then the drop-off started. And he's still a good player. I think he'll help the Rams, and I think he can help them in a bunch of different places, and I think he could have done the same with the Packers. But
yeah,
you know,
it's one of those things in Green Bay. I mean, look, Kyler Fackrell's coming off 10.5 sacks.
Yeah,
they maybe signed over his position, but at that point, I think if you're Brian Gutekunst, you want to find out, okay, the 30% of snaps Clay Matthews could get. If from an organizational perspective, I think they need to find out if Kyler Fackrell and his 30 or 40% of the snaps, whatever it's going to be for him, can replicate that and actually be a guy who's 25 years old and can play for the next 4 years, as opposed to, you know, a guy who's going to be 33 in May. So you're right. I obviously wasn't here for all of his career. I was around a little bit from 12 to 14, obviously after the Super Bowl. I will say this, obviously, the Super Bowl moment of the forced fumble, that's such a rare thing to happen in this game when you're not a quarterback. To sort of call your shot, if you will, to a degree, and actually do it. In terms of that, and of course, Randall Cobb, I think, I don't know where he rates. A lot of big plays against the Bears is kind of what I remember, I guess.
One really big year where he was a really good player. I actually think he's going to do better in Dallas than he would do in Green Bay. I think the biggest problem for him in Green Bay was the matchup style offense that McCarthy ran is not conducive to his ability. I've never thought that, and people have told me that, you know, he's just not the sharpest route runner. He's the kind of guy who you try to scheme open and then get him the ball and let him run with it. You know, where Davante Adams is precise and you know, has the size and everything, Cobb is more like that guy you set a pick for, give him the ball and let him run. And that never was what they did in the McCarthy offense. And so maybe in Dallas that'll happen.
It's Matt LaFleur told us he really liked that wide receiver group of the young guys specifically. So, I don't. Maybe there is a slot guy out there, you know, that they can find. As you know, we talk about some of their cap issues. That if they're looking for a veteran minimum, maybe, you know, after the draft, some guy gets cut, or there's a, you know, I mean, that's always a possibility.
Maybe they don't need one.
Maybe they don't. Maybe that's what Jimmy Graham. Maybe Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
For what they do, you know,
or a tight
provides
end
a little bit about right
another
exactly
tight end they draft. You know, I don't know. I don't know that you have to have this prototypical slot-looking guy. You know, the Packers for years have used Nelson in the slot. I mean, Cobb was always in the slot, but Antonio Freeman was a slot guy. Greg Jennings is a slot guy. I wouldn't call him a real small guy. He's not a big receiver, but he wasn't, to me, a prototypical a slot receiver, but he played in the slot. Nelson played in the slot. So, you know, you can get away with it. It's I guess, whatever LaFleur wants, you know,
right,
out of his receivers.
Well, so, before we get into what Matt LaFleur wants or maybe what this offense is going to be, we mentioned a little bit about there's some cap room. So where are they at? What is is it really just veteran minimum type things and draft picks, or, you know, because I think people want to know right now, are other guys coming in that could be exciting, or is it really now just, okay, maybe some piecemeal type things and they're going to use this money for down the road?
Yeah, so I need to settle what I put out there on Twitter and how it created quite a storm of people coming down on me for jumping the gun and creating fake news. And so I'll just kind of run people through what happened. So I was hearing from three different people who had direct contact with Packer officials who were telling them, we're strapped, we're against the cap, we got no money left. You know, and that's an exaggeration. But, you know, one of them said, well, you mean like got you for $8 million under? And they're like, well, no, it's more like $5 million. If you really look deep, it's more like $5 million. Well, that's what I was told. I put that out there saying, we'll see if that's accurate. I didn't say that that included draft picks. So that's probably what threw off a lot of people. And that was my mistake. But right now, they're about 8.5 under the cap. And that's with Geronimo Allison, that's with Mercedes Lewis, everything that I can tell. And they're going to need, and that is including their draft picks. So what, talking to another official who used to do caps, he said they must have something planned in their budget. And to me, that could be re-signing Kenny Clark. Hmm. To a long-term deal. It could be re-signing Mo Wilkerson and Ibrahim Campbell. It could be a free agent they're expecting to be cut, you know, that they know will be out there and they're going to go for it. So, you know, they do budgets and they run numbers, and maybe that's what Russ Ball is telling people in the organization, that, look, that's it. We don't have anything left. You know, don't go out and think that we can sign somebody.
Right.
So we'll see how that plays out. And that cap is always a moving thing. They have some ability to create room. They could cut Brian Bulaga and pick up, I think it's about 6 or 7. But you wouldn't do that before the draft, because what if you wind up not getting a tackle?
Yeah.
Who's your right tackle? You know,
Billy Turner? Jason Spriggs.
Yeah. So I don't think Bulaga's not costing you that much anymore. It's a final year of his deal.
Right.
And his cap number is $8 million or something like that, or maybe it's more than that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Tremont Williams, I guess, would have been the only other, at least, quote-unquote, obvious. I'm doing the air quotes here behind the microphone.
Yeah.
You know, where, but again, as we spoke about just a little bit earlier, you're really lacking for depth in the back end. And, you know, I think at this point you really wouldn't do that before the draft either.
Yeah,
If you were looking for, and of course at that point you're into May now. You've already gone through voluntary workouts and you're just about to hit your camp. So it's not too late for new guys, but it's, you know, who's out there necessarily in May.
And the other thing is, the only guy that I see on here, two guys that I see on here that have a chance to create any kind of cap room are Bulaga at 8.2. That's his cap number. He's due $6.75 million. So that's about what you would be gaining. And Tremont Williams, as you mentioned, who's at 6.375, and he's due, you would be shaving 4.75 off. But I don't think you cut a corner ever, you know, unless he's just terrible. And,
right.
And Tremont Williams did not play terribly. So I can't see them doing that. Belaga, like I said, I think that'll depend on how the draft goes. If they end up picking, you know, Jonah Williams or Juwan Taylor in the first round, then they're not going to keep Brian Belaga around. If they can't get a tackle until round five, then keep Brian Belaga around. It doesn't cost you any.
Right, exactly. No, I'm. We've talked about this in previous podcasts after the season, Tom. I'm a believer in if in terms of the year too late or year too early, for me, I think you keep tackles if you have them until you really, truly don't.
Right.
And Brian Belaga, yes, I understand Packers fans, you're out there screaming, but he's always hurt. Well, you know what? The 12 games he gives you is a lot better than any of their current options.
And that's a nice – it could give you a good transition if you do draft a guy that, you know, eventually – outperforms him during the season,
right.
But it probably won't happen in training camp. Belaga will outperform him, then maybe get hurt, and then you move that guy in. You know, and again, it's really costing them only $6.75 million in cash, in actual cash. And bringing him to training camp doesn't guarantee a salary. If he is no good in training camp, then you cut him, and you gain that cap room. But anyway, so I do think this cap thing is, there's some things we don't know about yet, and we'll have to follow that, and we'll know more as we get closer to the draft, probably.
Well, you can't, if you follow us on social media, you cannot say that we ignore it when people want to throw eggs at us.
Yeah. I love
the
fake news stuff. It's just hilarious. But, you know, I felt I did need to explain what my thinking was, you know, because I did think long and hard about whether I should post that or not. But I considered who the sources were. There were two different, I heard from two people who had heard from two different Packer people saying they're broke. And to me, that was significant.
Yeah.
Just that they're saying it. Maybe they're just exaggerating it for some other reason. But to me, that was, I thought that was newsworthy.
So, right. No, exactly.
That's that, you know. Go ahead.
So let's
rip on me. Take me down.
All right. So now let's turn it back to the field, which leads me to, I think, the meat of this podcast, Tom, a little bit, is just what does this mean, you know, for Matt LaFleur in his offense? Because Billy Turner, you don't really know where he fits just yet. So, you know, Brian Gutekunst said Jimmy Graham was going to come back and be productive. He's back. I forgot about Mercedes Lewis. I don't mean to forget him. They did bring him back on a one-year, $2 million deal. I mean, they haven't really.
Yeah, I want to just say something before we move on to that. You know, Mercedes Lewis is a great guy in the locker room. But, you know, what did he play, 19% of the snaps? Why is he not a minimum wage
one-year
deal? Why are they paying him $2 million? I don't, some of the stuff that they're doing financially, I don't really get. I mean, paying, and let's go back to Turner. I mean, 7 years or $7 million a year, right?
It's a lot,
Wow, I don't really get that, you know?
For a guy that no one wanted to put him in any sort of starting position upon signing, which is, I mean, I guess you always want to leave things open for competition, but that's...
Something's going on there because it smacks of desperation. And from what we know, you know, Brian Gutekunst is an amateur at the financial part of it. We know Russ Ball isn't.
Right.
He'll structure it the way, you know, he's told. Or Mark Murphy is telling them, spend, you know, just do what it takes to get these guys. We need to get guys.
Yeah.
You know, pick who you like and... If you have to overspend.
Get it done, right.
I don't know if that's the case, but it sure smacks of that because, you know, Gutekunst grew up with Ted Thompson. He doesn't believe in spending oodles or overpaying guys.
Right. Yeah, and it's...
That's weird. Anyway.
It is. Well, this kind of goes back to bringing Jimmy Graham back.
Yeah. That too, yeah.
So as of right now, Billy Turner is the only new addition on an offense that presumably, I mean, one of the reasons among, there's I'm sure there's many, but one of the reasons Mike McCarthy is fired is because of the way Aaron Rodgers played and the way that offense did not work.
Right.
The last two seasons, especially last year. So new head coach who's an offense, he's going to call the plays. Quite literally, Geronimo Allison's back on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. Quite literally, aside from Billy Turner, not a thing has changed yet.
Not yet.
And at this point in free agency, you're not getting a $10 million a year receiver. You know, you're looking at what, the draft? So you're talking about working rookies in somewhere? I mean, really?
So. That's all that's left. I mean, who in free agency excites you? Is there anybody?
Well, if you're a Packers fan, you want to bring the band back together.
Oh yeah,
Jordy and Randall Cobb. Why not? Right?
You know, if there's one thing I respect Gutekunst for was that decision to let Jordy Nelson go. That's a tough decision, given the fan base and everything like that.
Quarterback.
right. But he did it, and it showed to me he's got his head in the right place. You know, bringing those guys back is just a joke. Absolutely a joke.
Yeah, so
you're moving on. Why do you have those three young guys then?
Right. So I guess that's, you know, like, so I'll go back to the combine. We had lunch with Matt LaFleur, and he raved about this receiver group. He said, I've never had a group top to bottom like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've touched on that a little bit after that conversation. But now, as they've gone through these waves of free agency where you're difference makers, I guess would be, and the Packers elected not to go for any of them, they're almost doubling down on that group. And even if they take a receiver in the mid rounds, I mean, Packers fans saw what it's like with those guys a year ago. It's not like that player's going to come in and light the world on fire. And quite frankly, rookie tight ends also don't light the world on fire.
Yeah, yeah. You know, think about it. Right now, Jimmy Graham is on the Packers roster at $9 million, something like that. And Jared Cook is out on the street with no deal anywhere. I'd give Jared Cook $9 million in a heartbeat, you know, exchange those positions with Graham.
Right.
Wow. I don't get that one either.
No, maybe that's the veteran trump card yet to be played. You know, Lance Kendricks is the one guy in that room. But again, if this team is going to look at potentially drafting a guy, maybe that makes Mercedes Lewis expendable come camp time. I don't know, but it's just I
think they're going to draft two guys. I do. I mean, I think it's deep enough they could take one first, second, third round and take one in the seventh.
Yeah. So it would be that. So what does that say to you, Tom, a little bit? Because for me, it's a really firm belief that talent was not the issue on offense in 2018, at least to the degree that they felt they needed to address it financially.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they felt that was the case defensively. So they must feel Matt LaFleur plus Aaron Rodgers plus year two of those skill guys and their current group of linemen, four of the five, are good enough to run the wide zone.
So two things. One, they feel like they have the trifecta in place, which is the franchise wide receiver, franchise quarterback, and franchise left tackle. Those are the first three things you need to have a good offense. Now, after that, you know, Aaron Jones is still, I don't care about those MCLs. I still think he's a potential franchise type player. Maybe not franchise, but he's a good starter. Jimmy Graham, they're probably counting on him as that, but I don't see that. So, you have this makings of that. What you don't have is enough complementary players. And that's kind of what they're looking at. But I think last year they spent capital on offense in the draft, and this year and free agency, and this year it'll be on defense, I think.
Perhaps your point on Aaron Jones is the key one here. Because if they feel, and I think they'll draft a running back as well. It could be as high as third round again. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
A guy who comes from that wide zone. But maybe is that kind of the piece here where they feel that's a guy we're going to hand it off a bunch. He's the guy who's going to take a lot of that, and they feel that explosion is coming in year three for him. And I mean,
I think so. I mean, and go ahead, they're going to go ahead and get another back, I would guess, you know, in the fourth round or something like that.
It's not Tevin Coleman or a free agent who was out there who A, had already run the system, and B, you know, had success in the system. It'd be a rookie compliment.
Well, if you can find Aaron Jones in the fourth round, then you can find someone who can run the wide zone in the fourth, fifth round, you know? And they just need multiple players. Aaron Jones is the guy. It's just, he's had these MCL injuries, which are not the worst. MCLs, it's not like having torn cartilage. It's not like having torn ACL, patellar. It's healable. It doesn't require surgery. He just got to get stronger in the lower legs so his legs start caving in on the inside. So I'm of the opinion that he'll be fine. I could be wrong on that. But anyway, to your point, they're looking at him being one of those pillars.
Is it the, I mean, I guess quite simply, do you agree with that approach? I mean, because, this all starts with the quarterback. That's one of the reasons the head coach is fired, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so this is a new offense, right? It's all we're going to write about. It's all we talked about in January. New offense, new language for the quarterback, for these receivers, these linemen. That's all, or that's just all okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just sprinkle in a couple rookies. I guess I don't know if you were to say what would be the other option. I guess for me, do you swap out a Billy Turner for a Cole Beasley? Is that the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe. So I guess I don't have a great answer for you the other way. Although I guess I am the guy on Twitter. If you guys follow me, by all means, I'm someone who thinks that either Odell Beckham Jr. or Antonio Brown should be in Green Bay. But that, you know, that's just me. So, maybe those were the guys that should have been acquired to make this offense run. But it just seems like they really, truly believe it's just going to click in year one with everything being brand new on offense.
They are counting on Matt LaFleur to lift this offense.
That's, I mean, they said it in January, but actions now speak louder.
Right. They're putting tremendous pressure on him to, you know, work his magic with this offense. And they may be surprised. I mean, in the first year, this is the first year the guys call him plays, you know? It's unfair to put that much on him. Now, they may still draft a couple of linemen. They need depth on the line.
Sure.
They got to have tight end help. Wide receiver, I don't know. They could take someone late. They could take someone middle round, maybe. But, you know, we keep saying, oh, they'll take this here. We're running out of draft picks here for them to use on guys. So I do think they have to take some offensive linemen somewhere.
Right. And I think rookie linemen can come in and play. It's happened in Green Bay. It happens all over the league.
Mm-hmm.
I guess running back also fits that mold. So to me, it would be the tight end and adding a receiver. But maybe they feel John Wilson is healthy and he's the number two.
Right.
And then those other three guys can fill in as needed. And just in this offense, there'll be better fits.
Yeah, and Kumerall will be their, you know, number five guy. Not Cooper Kupp, but, you know, he'll be one of those guys who can help them a little bit. So, also, I mean, I think we have to realize, too, that with the wide receiver position, you have to count Graham as a wide receiver.
Yeah, in this offense.
And if they end up drafting Noah Fant, that's another wide receiver, really. So I don't think they're really worried about guys for Aaron Rodgers to throw to.
Right.
If I were them, I'd be more worried about guys protecting them.
Right. It's a good question. I mean, it's, you know, especially with their inability or lack of desire to just name him as a starter, it makes you wonder, do they want to see if Brian Bulaga can run and do some of this stuff during the voluntary workouts in April and kind of make a decision there, you know, before they draft? You know, maybe that's part of this. I don't know.
here's what I think is that they'll go through the draft. Bulaga's still on the roster. There's no reason to cut him now.
I don't think so either.
Unless you absolutely need the cap space. And they don't. They have about $13 million left. I think it might be closer to 12. But you keep Bulaga till the draft. If you wind up taking one of those tackles early on, then you cut him. And there you go. You move on from there. I mean, you know, you draft this guy. If you draft one of those first-rounders, then you expect him to start. And so you throw him in at right tackle, and you got Turner at right guard, and off you go.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's interesting because, as we talked about on the last podcast, Tom, with these defensive signings and just what it meant for Mike Pettine and sort of setting that as, like, the new face or the base of this Packers team, it's like, okay, defense is almost expected. Like, it's like two sets of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. Mike Pettine gets all the new toys. So they better be really good.
Yeah, they better be really good.
And then also Matt LaFleur, if he didn't already have his – maybe only Freddie Kitchens now has more pressure as a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
Then it's Matt LaFleur, and it's almost like, okay, you and your group of coaches who haven't led their rooms – I mean, all the issues we talked about back in January haven't changed.
Yeah.
But neither has the personnel. So it's just
– Think about the difference between Kyle Shanahan – Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur. Shanahan goes and he's got Jimmy Garoppolo drafted, has never played, hardly ever played. You know, no pressure there. McVay goes to the Rams. They got Jared Goff. Of course, everybody expects him to have some leeway.
He was so bad that it was kind of like, well, whatever you could do with the guy.
LaFleur is the one who's coming in with pressure for instant success with Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's what they hired him for, to turn Aaron Rodgers back into the guy he was. And that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So Gutekunst hasn't done a lot to help him, but we'll see.
Yeah, it is. That's the interesting thing. We'll kind of – along those lines, one other thing I wanted to hit is you're into this second, third wave of free agency where it's just kind of – it's not a lot of money for a lot of these guys. I'm curious, Tom, you know, they're – Brian Gutekunst said he wasn't shy about potentially bringing in a kicker to compete with Mason Crosby in camp just to have a body. Where's the return game? You know, where maybe Crosby is the guy, and that's fine. I think his play has tailed off a little bit the last few years, but there's still some holes on the weakest part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, again, kind of going back to what we talked about on offense, are you counting on six draft picks and Raven Green, James Crawford, Robert Tonyan to be to be it, or
to be your special teams.
Right, and then trying to Trevor Davis is under contract. I mean, are you just saying, well, let's try that again?
Well, I think the bulk of your special teams right now, if they were playing tomorrow, would be Owen Burks. It would be Crawford. It would be Josh Jones. It'd probably be Curtis Riley. And
Tony Brown fits in there.
Brown possibly. Kumaro a little bit. There's someone I'm missing that was really good on special teams, and now I can't think of who it is.
There's, depending on the coverage, there's Fido Brown.
Yeah.
There's your D lineman. I think Tyler Lancaster fit in there sometimes for
bit.
Their heavies, yeah.
Yeah, but you have enough guys that you have the base, but you don't have any real veteran help there. So that's what I want to see if Gutekunst gives Sean Menenga a little bit of help beyond just rookies.
So. No, or Trevor Davis. I mean, he could be good, but we know the issues there, though.
Yeah, Trevor Davis, it doesn't cost you anything to look at him in training camp. You know, if he's there, good. Fine. If he's not, you cut him. But I also, if I were Gutekunst, I'd be on the lookout for a returner.
Right. Would you count on Oren Burks if you're expecting him to finally, for him to take a lead? We spent a lot of time talking about second-year receivers. You know, he was tracking well. I mean, he was injured right when I started on the beat, quite literally, the day I started.
He got hurt in the warm-ups at Oakland. He dislocated his shoulder and warm-ups.
Right. So is he, you know, Antonio Morrison was waived. I mean, you know, linebackers are your special, the core of your special teams generally. But I mean, you know, is where does he fit? Or is, because Preston Smith has now been signed and is, you would think, at $13 million a year, a three-down linebacker next to Blake Martinez, mm-hmm. Warren Burks kind of fits in, and he is, I mean, I guess he's the most curious of the second-year guys where he fits now.
Yeah. I mean, well, so I think Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith's line up opposite each other in the four,
in the base
3-4. When they go to the nickel, I think Za'Darius Smith moves inside and Fackrell moves to outside.
Okay.
And then, you know, you're rotating with Kenny Smith, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, Lowry,
Fackrell,
draft pick. So there's a lot of pieces there. I don't think that middle linebacker position is all that important anymore. 70% of the time it's a safety now, you know,
right.
And it might be Adrian Amos quite a bit.
Right. So is Burks kind of an odd man out already after one year?
He has to play himself into relevancy. He has to come in and be so good that they have to find a place for him. Now, he's an amazing athlete for his size. He's smart. He's a good kid. But he's not football savvy, and he's playing a new position. He wasn't an inside linebacker. He's a safety in college. And so he's got to just force himself onto the field. Otherwise, they'll just go, you know, they'll find him. They'll go Crawford maybe or whatever when they need a rundown guy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess I would also speak a lot of Brian Gutekunst said if he you know, thought there were some shortcomings in some drafts, he'd either overdraft it or sign guys to and just realize, hey, that wasn't the best thing to do. Or who knows, maybe Warren Burks plays a little bit different role.
Yeah,
in 2019,
and
so it'd be interesting.
What if Devin White is sitting there at number 12, the LSU inside linebacker, who for most indications is one of the best all-around players in the draft? You know, what do you do then? You have to take him, don't you?
Right.
Or even Devin Bush is getting, the inside linebacker from Michigan is getting talked about. So, boy, there's a lot of issues. But I think the smartest thing you can do is build as much capital as you can before the draft and then figure it out after that, you know?
Yeah, it's been an interesting, you know, as you said, you know, last week's podcast was about, that breaking news and just sort of how much money and sort of the big splash the Packers made, and now we're able to sift through it. What does it mean? How does it affect the team as a whole? And it's sort of interesting when you kind of take that step back now, right?
Yeah.
And it's just sort of, you realize, wait a minute, Billy Turner and Mercedes Lewis are it.
Yeah.
You know, not cutting That's Jimmy it. Graham is it. And what does that mean for Matt LaFleur? And again, you know, I'm not a guy who, I guess, Tom, in my experience, if it's not a running back or a lineman, it's just hard for rookies to really make a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, we'll see what if they add some extra veteran pieces,
right? And let's see who gets cut.
Exactly,
guys are going to start getting cut, veteran guys, and there might be someone worth picking up. Who knows if Jared Cook was sitting there in?
That's an amazing one that
April,
he's still out there, right?
You know, I would take a shot at him. Why not? You know, even $3-4 million,
right?
I don't know if that's going to happen. I can't believe he's out there. I really can't. I don't know why people downgrade him so much. He's a better blocker than Jimmy Graham. I'll tell you that. I mean, and he's a wide receiver, glorified tight end, or wide receiver. So, anyway, we could go on for hours on that.
But. Yeah, no, it was. It's been interesting, you know, and this team is now, you know, workouts start April 8th. You know, sort of the next thing on the marker, draft a few weeks after that. So, you know, that's sort of the next big thing is in less than a month that playbook's able to get passed out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're close to shifting into draft mode.
Right.
I think there's still some free agency stuff that will go on, but I think it went really fast.
It did.
Faster than years. It used to drag for, you know, you'd be waiting. until the end of March for a guy to settle.
Right.
And oh, it's just like boom.
Yeah, with the 2-day, well, is it legal tampering or
yeah.
open negotiating, whatever it may be. I mean, from Trent Brown signing within 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Or agreeing to a signature to, you know, to the news today of, or Monday, excuse me, of Bashaud Breeland and, you know, switching spots, if you will. I mean, it's slowed down considerably.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to see what's in store for the Packers after this.
Yeah, so, and of course, to do that, you want to subscribe to the Journal Sentinel at PackersNews.com. Make sure you download the apps as well. Turn on those notifications because you will get all of our work from Tom, myself, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty, Olivia Reiner, the whole PackersNews.com team. And, yeah, you don't want to miss a thing that can be happening here with the Green Bay Packers. So thanks again for joining us. For Tom, I'm Jim. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.